to welcome the Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and let me go ahead and list the sponsors that we have. And guys, please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to bring this show to you. We've got Gauls, our title sponsor, at gauls.com. We've also got our, you know, we're on syndicated, and we're on satellite radio as well, compliantechnologies.com. They're helping make that happen. Also, aeroprecisionusa.com, our arm sponsor. We have gunlearn.com, mymedicare.life, safeguardrecruiting.com, and they're our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're reaching over 1 million people live right now on the stream. We have twobells.com. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com, so you get cool gear like the shirt that I'm wearing, and also Fish Orlando, bass.com. So, you know, Zach has got a bass fishing charter in the Orlando area, so next time you guys are taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids to Disney, go ahead and drop them off. Let them have a great time. Give them the credit card. Go hook up with Zach and do the bass fishing charter in Orlando. Or, and you do have options, you can do the alligator hunting, the Florida alligator. And if you're not killing anybody, it is catching and relocating the Florida alligator. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFB.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Yates with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today, guys? Here we go. We've got Minneapolis police chief urges 911 calls if a masked ICE agent is seen. He says that the officers will intervene if necessary. That, I'm afraid, is an embarrassment. We've also got another one, police departments lowering hiring standards amid a recruiting crisis, and that's where one of our sponsors, Safeguard Recruiting, comes in. We got an Illinois officer arrested by ICE, returns to full duty. That is a shocker. I can't wait to get to that one. Port St. Lucie, a sergeant. Now, this is all over the news right now. A sergeant, he's in a medically induced coma right now after he was shot in the face twice in a fatal shootout. And that's kind of scary. And of course, our hearts and prayers go out to the sergeant. We've got footage released when a Cass County deputy ends up being shot in the leg and the suspect is dead in that shootout. Then we got a canine in the North Las Vegas area. He helps police arrest a 36-year-old bad guy for multiple shootings. So we're going to be getting into that, assuming we have time permitting. And then the last one I have lined up, deputies are ruled justified in the fatal shootout with a murder suspect who took a woman hostage. So we've got a lot of great stories, guys. So let's go ahead and start for the first one. We got Minneapolis police chief urges 911 calls if masked ICE agents are seen. He says the officers will intervene if necessary. Now, look, the first thing, we're talking about Minneapolis, all right? This is where our panelist, Bob Kroll, he retired as a lieutenant from there, and they've got a lot of stuff going on in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and I'm not impressed with the chief at all. So with all the rhetoric going on and all the pressure being put, you know, on these federal agents, now look what this chief is saying. So Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara urged the Somali residents and other immigrant communities on Tuesday to call 911 if they are seeing masked individuals detaining people in their neighborhood, saying that the department has received reports that some may be kidnapping people, which is ridiculous right now. O'Hara, the chief, made the remarks during a press conference as questions continue to circulate about expected federal immigration enforcement actions in the Twin Cities, as reported by the Gateway Pundit. Now, here's a quote from O'Hara, the chief, over in Minneapolis, saying that folks that are masked when people aren't sure if they're law enforcement or if they may be kidnapping people, we have had those reports. He goes on to tell the community members that if you see something like that and you don't know whether someone is law enforcement, you should call 911 and provide as much information as possible. So he is really part of the problem. O'Hara said that the Minneapolis Police Department would immediately respond to all such calls and that they would document them. He also added that the officers are being reminded of their responsibility to act if they witness violations during any encounter involving federal authority. So I'm going to read that last part again. And this really is it's not the first flag, but it's maybe one of the main flags in his statement. It lets you know what his motivation is and where his heart's at and what he means by doing all this. He added that the officers are being reminded, and these are the officers that work for him, of their responsibility. In other words, their duty to act if they witness violations during any encounter involving federal authority. So he's already setting the stage and suggesting that there is the likelihood of wrongdoing by the feds. It just horrible. And then lastly, he goes on and says, if there is anything involving someone's human rights or civil rights, excessive force or anything like that, they absolutely have a duty to intervene as police officers. So he's just going further down the rabbit hole. The comments were made as media reports indicate that Immigration and Customs Enforcement is preparing a major operation targeting Somali nationals in the Minneapolis-St. Paul region. And then, of course, we've got the mayor, Jacob Frey, weighing in, also no fan of law enforcement and certainly no fan of Bob Kroll, who's on the show. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey also spoke at the briefing, reaffirming that the city policy, it prohibits the agency from cooperating with ICE and civil immigration enforcement. Frey criticized what local leaders described as a federal crackdown. So he's criticizing what the feds are doing, which means he's criticizing what Donald Trump is doing. The reported planning follows recent comments from President Trump, who announced on his Truth Social platform that he was terminating, effective immediately, what they called temporary protective status for Somali immigrants in Minnesota. And they're not happy about it. So this is the way that they're reacting. So when you guys are watching the news, please watch for these flags. And when you have a police chief who's supposed to be on our side, he's supposed to be, and when I say the blue, I don't mean covering the blue right or wrong, but he is really setting the stage, and he's really setting the stage for something bad that could possibly happen. Imagine being a Fed doing your job and doing what the American people voted Trump to do when he got in the office, and that is getting rid of the illegals, and especially the worst of the worst. But now you've got a chief in the Minneapolis area, because they're planning on coming to Minneapolis to getting the job done. Now he's going public and telling his troops that, hey, you know, we have reason to believe that this bad stuff's going to happen when the feds come in, and people may be being kidnapped and other things going on, and we want people to call 911. Now that's the emergency, that's the hotline, and they're going to have a police response showing up when you've got the feds that doing what they're paying to be doing, and now you're going to have some altercations between local law enforcement and the federal law enforcement. Gee, do you think anything could go wrong with that? So I'm very disappointed to see that Minneapolis is turning out to be an embarrassment. And this whole Somali thing, don't forget the name Mohammed Noor. He's the guy that shot the Australian female, and that was Justine Damon, back in the alley, and he clammed up, didn't want to talk. And there was a lot of talk about how they lowered standards to get the Somalian, on the police force. And look how that turned out. So there's certainly a problem that needs to be addressed by the feds. And if you guys want to weigh in, I'm looking at the comments as well. So please feel free, to do that. But nothing good is going to come out of this. And the mayor and the police chief are going to bear some responsibility if something bad happens because of the comments that they're making. So yeah, I'm very disappointed. Guys, we're 3 minutes out from taking our first commercial break. I want to remind everybody also that we are doing a $50 Goals gift card giveaway today. So if you guys have not won in the last 90 days and you're able to get to a stream where you can type in a message, all you have to do is type in Goals, that's G-A-L-L-S, and your email address in order to automatically register for that win. We would like to give it away on the third commercial break. So make sure that you do that if you're interested in winning that. So guys, moving along, I'm going to go ahead and hit our And we have an update article here from globalordnancenews.com. We have an Illinois officer arrested by ICE, and he ends up returning to full duty. So we're staying on this theme with what ICE is doing. This is in Hanover Park, Illinois. So the Hanover Park police officer arrested by federal immigration officers earlier for his fall amid Operation Midway Blitz. He ended up returning to work on Monday, according to a village official. So you guys are probably wondering, well, how in the freaking world, did that happen? And, because the guy was what popped because of his status and who he was, right? Well, listen, the story gets better. Hanover Park, they had placed Officer Radul Bojevic on leave after U.S. Customs and Immigration Enforcement officers arrested the Montenegro native in mid-October for allegedly overstaying a B-2 tourist visa that expired back in March of 2015. Now, think about that. That thing expired over 10 years ago. However, the village where he's working, in turn, they maintain that Bojevic was authorized to work in the country. Now, how in the freaking world did that happen? I would like to know, because his tourist visa expired over 10 years ago, but he's authorized to work for you guys. That's the first flag in this article. And there's a lot of other flags coming up as well. Citing that authorization, Hanover Park Police, in a news release Tuesday, stated that this officer, Bojevic, he returned to full duty status this week as he's awaiting the outcome of his court proceedings. So it's not done yet. After his arrest, Bojevic was released on bond on October the 31st, according to the village. Now, here's a quote saying that, given that his bond was not contested, and that he remains authorized to work by the federal government, the Hanover Police Department determined that he may return to work. And of course, that was made by the Hanover Park Police Department. They made that determination. According to the village records obtained by the Tribune through a Freedom of Information Act request, Hanover Park apparently had two work authorization cards on file for Bojovic. So they're saying that they had two of them. It's unclear when the cards were issued or what their expiration dates are due to village redactions on records. Now, alongside the department statement, a police spokesperson said that neither Bojovic nor village officials were taking requests for further comment. So that's the next flag, guys. They don't want to talk about it. So, yeah, I'm not buying the story, especially since these guys are clamming up and they're, you know, closing their lips and they don't want to answer questions. And you know, I think that we know why. Hey, guys, it's time for first commercial break. So stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. You know, as police officers, we all know that we can get our gear from a lot of different sources. And when you throw the online option, it's almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about what's really important here. It's supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And we're not done. They're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they've got a gift card code where you can get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. It's Radio 15. So next time you go to Gauls.com, and hopefully it'll be sooner than later, type in Radio 15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show, and we're giving away one today. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with the new Gauls gift cards, and they will be your new best friends. Again, that is Gauls at Gauls.com. Now we're going to be talking about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And guys, we all know about the glove, my favorite product, but in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. They're Eagle Protect nitrile gloves. They offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Not only that, they're MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers. Sanitizers eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And yeah, we're still not done. They continue the kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You can learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that's ComplianTechnologies/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. And, you know, guys, we just left off talking about a story, and it is Illinois officer arrested by ICE returns to full duty. So we are in Illinois, and don't forget about what's been going on in Illinois with the Chicago area and with the governor over there, right? I mean, they're no friends of what the Trump administration is doing around the country, especially in their own hometown. Illinois officer arrested by ICE returns to full duty. And so we're talking about Officer Radul Bojovic, and he was picked up and arrested by U.S. Customs and Immigration Enforcement because his B-2 tourist visa, a tourist visa, had expired in March of 2015, which is over 10 years ago. So he got a job working for a police department under a tourist visa. Now, and still talking about this, at the time of the arrest, they're saying that he was in compliance with federal and state law. I like to see and hear how that actually happened. But he was hired on January the 8th and certified by the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board in August. But again, this is the state of Illinois, right? Before bringing Bojovic into police force, the village stated that it had confirmed that he was legally authorized by the federal government to work in the United States. They noted that when he was hired, he provided them with a work authorization card. Village officials have also stated that they have not received any notice that his card has ever been revoked. And it goes on to say that according to an employment application that this guy, Bojovic, submitted to the village back in June of 2024. Now, that's what, only a little over a year ago. He attended high school in Chicago and previously worked at a church as a janitor and at Ross, which I'm assuming is the store, according to the village record. So the employment application was in 2024, about a year ago, so which means he wasn't there long, but his visa expired, that work visa or that tourist visa expired about, well, over 10 years ago. So that's a story on that. I don't know if it bothers you guys as much as me. You know, when you start lowering standards and you have people that are non-citizens become police officers, they've been doing that in California. I believe that that has been, or they were attempting to do that in the state of Washington. But now, of course, we know what the status is in the state of Illinois. I'm sure that there was some politics and some drama going on in the background. This guy, you know, ICE doesn't necessarily have the ability to keep him in their custody and control, you know, forever. And of course, he still needs to go to the court to get this thing cleared up. But he's back on the job. And I read also in the bottom part of the article that they're giving him full back pay for all the work that he's missed while he's been in ICE custody. Yeah, here it goes. Now back to full duty. Vojovic will receive back pay from the village for the entire time that he was on leave. Wow. So you've got a that gives you a new appreciation to being here illegally and being able to be a police officer. So I see some huge injustices here. I'm not happy about the story, but I wanted to, since we covered it originally when he got popped and he got taken into custody and he got arrested, I thought that you guys would want to hear about that story as well. And just looking at some of the commentary, it looks like a lot of you guys aren't happy with that situation as well. So, and now we got MVS weighing in saying that only USA citizens should be law enforcement officers in the country. I think that by and large, the vast majority of the citizens here would have to agree with you. So if you guys are ready, we're going to move on to our first story with a video component. And yeah, we've got some doozies, not necessarily great stories. I'm glad that in this first one, the sergeant's still fighting for his life. It's been all over the news. Don't have a lot of information involving this, but at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, we have a poor St. Lucie sergeant. He's in a medically induced coma after being shot in the face twice in a fatal shootout.
Where's he at? Where's he at? Sarge, are you okay?
So kind of scary, right? Now, there's a video associated with this. And again, we don't have all the information for everything that's going on. So it looked almost like it was a almost like an ambush. The officers looked like the guy just opened fire when they really weren't expecting it. And there was a shootout that followed. But in Port St. Lucie, Florida, the sergeant who was shot in the face twice near the town park community in a place called Tradition, he's still fighting a good fight, according to an update from law enforcement. Now, in a Tuesday release from the Port St. Lucie Police Department, Sergeant Eric Levesser, who was critically injured while in the line of duty, he's currently in a medically induced coma after undergoing a second surgery to repair facial features. Scary, right? And they're not, yeah, we're still talking about this. Listen to this. His jaw had to be wired shut for recovery, and they had to give him a trach to keep the airway secure. Now, police said the physicians have also confirmed the presence of shrapnel in his retina, which is going to be removed via specialized surgery. And they still have to line all that up. The agency states that arrangements are currently being made to transport the sergeant to an alternate trauma center to remove the shrapnel out of the eye. After the operation, they're going to return him back to HCA Florida Lawnwood Hospital for continued care and recovery. So it sounds like it's going to be a long road to recovery, you know, for the sergeant. And you know, just, I mean, the good news about all this is that, you know, the sergeant's alive and he's fighting for his life. And there was a fatal shootout. The bad guy ended up dying, but we still don't have, you know, a lot of information. The video, which sometimes, you know, they're hard to watch. It's only 36 seconds long. I'm kind of glad for that. But this is all over the news. So I want you guys to be aware of what happened. And you've got access to the video. If there's anything that can be learned from any of this stuff, you know, we're hoping that even if it can save one life, you know, it's worth it. We've covered videos, especially lately, where we've got officers that are advancing on a bad guy, and they've got the cover, not just concealment, but they've got the cover of a police car or maybe another object, and they don't fully utilize it. They step out away from the doors, away from the car, and yeah, you may have better visibility, but you have less coverage as well. So I encourage you guys, even when you're using less lethal, we had one the other day where we've got the only rifle present was less lethal rifles, right? They're shooting beanbag rounds and they're shooting pepper balls. And our cops utilizing these less lethal stepped away from the cover that the moving vehicle was providing for them And they ended up, you know, well, one officer ended up getting shot in the head or in the face area. Not in this situation I'm talking about, but in one from last week. So when you have cover, utilize the cover. It's there for a reason, and maybe it's a training issue. And if it's going on, maybe these agencies need to give refresher courses on this. But guys, if you have cover, utilize it. We're still seeing videos where guys are leaving the cover, they're backing up, or they're running across an open field away from a bad guy that's armed and shooting at them, and it just drives me crazy. And in this particular situation, don't have a lot of information. It did look like maybe some guys weren't fully utilizing the cover of the police vehicle. And it is possible, you know, that where you can get shot, even if you're using cover, because, you know, if you can see and shoot at the bad guy, technically there's an opening for him to be able to shoot and reach out and touch you too, typically. So, but guys, we're coming up on our second commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. You know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR Builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus Bolt Actions. And that's not all. Their M4E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less, but you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Rumble.com, this is Butter. We have footage released when a Cass County deputy was shot in the leg and the suspect ends up being dead in the shootout.
Shots fired, suspect down. Get your fucking hands up! Get your hands up now!
Shots fired, suspect down. There's no breathing.
Roll away from the gun! Get your hands up now!
So this is a place called Turtle Lake Township in Minnesota, the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. They released new information about Sunday afternoon shooting in Cass County that left one guy dead and a deputy injured. So the Cass County Sheriff's Office said the deputies initially responded to the report of a shots fired call. It was at 4:30 in the afternoon in a place called Turtle Lake Township. Now, when the cops get there, they encounter a 37-year-old bad guy named James Wyas, and he's walking along County Road 13. So investigators say that when our bad guy Wyas, when he starts to run, Cass County Deputy Caleb Churn, he gives chase. So now we got a foot chase going on, and that led to an exchange of gunfire that left the deputy with a gunshot wound to his upper right thigh. Now, it kind of starts off showing we have a couple body cams in the beginning, and then at the very end of this video footage, we have a dash cam, which really shows some of the best footage, you know, in this thing that I saw. And Travis, I'm getting background, if you can mute your mic. But you know, it's some of the best footage that I saw. So we got the investigator saying that this guy runs across, you know, starts running from the deputy, the first deputy, number one, he chases this guy, and our bad guy ends up shooting the deputy and he wounds him in the upper thigh. Now we have a second deputy that arrives, and it's Deputy David Donner. And he sees this bad guy, Wyas, and he comes out into the roadway. So Deputy Donner fires at the bad guy and he ends up killing him. And the deputy, the sheriff's office said that a 9mm handgun and holster with multiple shell casings were recovered at the scene. Authorities also announced that on Monday, that Deputy Churn was released from the hospital, the one that was shot in the thigh, in Fargo, North Dakota, and that he will make a full recovery. So just going back to the notes here that I've got on this thing, if you start watching from the beginning at the 10-second mark, we've got a deputy running. He runs to the back of another deputy, and he hears shots being fired at the 12-second mark and at the 17-second mark. And then at 36 seconds in, he locates the deputy that's down, and he ends up being shot in the leg. I didn't hear a lot of radio chatter. I didn't hear this deputy getting on saying, hey, you know, shots fired until after he located the officer that was down and shot. And he helps the officer up, and he relocates the officer. But at this point, don't exactly know where the bad guy's at. And so there's a noise about 50 seconds in where you hear what maybe more gunshots. And then if you jump to the 4 minute and 30 second mark, we've got a third deputy arriving, and he's running from his cruiser. But you know what? He's got a long gun, and that's the big difference there. As he pulls up, he hears gunfire. He retrieves his rifle, and he starts giving commands to the suspect at 4 minutes and 55 seconds into it. And now the suspect is running towards a cruiser that has its overheads on, and the deputy's giving the guy commands. Now I'm thinking the bad guy's running. He's going to jump in this cop's cruiser. The cop who's, you know, it's the cruiser of the second cop that arrived, that's running and finding the partner. So while he's doing that, this dude is running towards his cruiser. And so our cop with the rifle, he takes the guy out. He starts shooting, and the guy goes down. And then we've got at 6:55, you see officers putting a tourniquet on the injured officer. And now we get to watch the dash cam about 8 minutes in. And that shows really pretty much everything. You see the bad guy bail and start to run when the initial cop goes to stop him. And then he gives pursuit. Then you've got another deputy rolling up in his car, and you see him giving not necessarily chase, but he finds the cop that shot. And now you have the bad guy approaching, and it looks like he's going to be getting into that second car. And then you got him being taken out by the rifle and the dude showing up with a long gun that took him out. The deputy, it was some great shooting. So, but it was just it's a heck of a video. So, you know, we get our videos from Rumble and our favorite channels. It's called This Is Butter. And, you know, guys, this is one of those videos where, you know, when you watch the show, we try to describe in great detail, but this is probably one of those ones you're going to want to watch. So the way they do that, the best way, you know, we have two different versions of the show. You know, we're live in the radio Monday through Friday during the lunch hour. That's 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time. But after that, we have a second version of the show that comes out at 9 o'clock the next morning on a Rumble channel. That happens Tuesday through Saturday. On that special version that comes out, our producer, Will Statcher, he takes a copy of the live show, and he'll embed every video that we talk about as we talk about it, and that goes up on a Rumble channel at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's a great way to watch the show, and it's not live. Arguably, it may even be better because the videos and everything are right there, and you get to watch it as we're, you know, talking about it. So it's really a great way to watch the show. You don't want to miss that. That'll be coming out tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it'll be attached to this. And we'll also have links to all the articles and all the videos that we talk about as well. So it's really a great way to watch the show. So, yeah, there's a lot to be learned from this particular call. So hopefully you guys will have a chance to watch that. And just check in the commentary and stuff. Hey, Josephina, thanks for the support for law enforcement. We appreciate it. And Chad Jamel, thanks for all the commentary and for the support as well. We appreciate it, guys. And so moving along, guys, we're going to go to this next one here. And we've got a canine. You know, I absolutely love canine videos. And this is one from North Las Vegas Police. So you know that Randy Sutton's from Las Vegas Metro Police, but this is North Las Vegas Police Department. So at rumble.com, This Is Butter's the channel. We have the canine from the North Las Vegas Police. They arrested 36-year-old bad guy Hector Andre Rodriguez for multiple shootings.
Hands! Let me see your hands right now. One at gunpoint right now. Let me see your hands right now. Let me see your hands. Quit coming to me here. Fuss! Fuss, fuss, fuss! Fuss! Get down! Dog's on the bite, dog's on the bite. Let me see your hands!
Hey, I am.
Down! Get down right now! Get down!
Hey, dude!
Do not reach for the gun! You're gonna get shot! You understand? You're gonna get. You understand?
W. Idiot, you're ramming
into
my car.
One at gunpoint, dog is on the bike, get here, be quick.
Please, I'm done, calm down. I'm an American citizen, idiot, grab my gun, idiot. Have a CCW.
413, drop down his pants.
Grab the dog. Ah. I'm not resisting, bro. Calm down, I have a CCW, calm down. Hey, calm down.
So North Las Vegas police said that on Tuesday, the suspect, he's a 36-year-old Hector Andre Rodriguez. He ends up being arrested on September the 26th after a weeks-long investigation. And they released body cam footage from September the 26th. It shows the agency officers, remember, it's North Las Vegas police. It shows them doing a traffic stop, and then you hear shots being fired, but it's in the distance. So minutes later, more body cam video shows a North Las Vegas Metro or North Las Vegas Police Department K-9 unit confronts the suspect during a traffic stop and then at a gas station before he ends up being brought to the ground and detained. And doesn't go into nearly enough detail. I'm going to go to my notes in a second. But investigators said that they were able to link Rodriguez, the bad guy, to more shootings across the Las Vegas Valley, including at the Clark County Family Court. The Wynn and Mandalay Bay-related investigations are also ongoing at Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. So that's the other agency. So yeah, don't get this confused with Las Vegas Metro. We got North Las Vegas, and then we got Las Vegas Metro. So Rodriguez, the bad guy, faces several felony charges, including discharging a firearm into an occupied structure and into an occupied vehicle. More charges could follow as the case develops, according to police. So we got a couple minutes here. So let me go to my show notes and see, you know, what we're missing, because we have a canine here. So at the 1 minute and 30 second mark, the canine officer exits the cruiser at the gas station and he's confronting this shooting suspect. Now, the canine enters the picture at 1:47. So that is just like 17 seconds later, and he hits the suspect, hits him hard. And the suspect has his hands up as directed by the officer. But again, so no firearm visible. So, you know, dogs, when you release these canines, their motivation's it's just pure motivation to get the bad guy, right? Suspect refuses to get on the ground as he's being eaten, I have written in my notes, and appears to be trying to get back inside the vehicle. So he is a non-compliant. And look, even if people want to make the argument that the guy appeared to be compliant, at least partially by having his hands up, he was non-compliant, refused to follow police commands while the dog is on him. He wouldn't get on the ground. He's trying to get back in the car. Now, this is a guy that is a shooting suspect with multiple shootings. You don't want to let him get back in the car. You don't even know what he's got on him, but you don't want him to get access to a weapon. So they get another officer that gets there. There are two open doors on the driver's side. So the driver's door and the passenger door both end up on the driver's side. So this guy has all kinds of opportunity to get back in the car unless they get to him quick. At 2 minutes and 30 seconds in, the suspect is finally taken to the ground. That's about 45 seconds, guys. It took them that long to get the guy on the ground with the assistance of other officers. So that is a extremely dangerous situation when you've got a bad guy wanted for multiple shootings, trying to get back into the car that's not being cooperative. That's scary. And you don't know what he's got in the car. Well, you have reason to believe that you do, though. So another scary situation. So I'm checking our commentary on this. And thanks for the, I'm watching MVS and Bill and all the guys over on Rumble and stuff as well. So thanks for the commentary, guys. You guys don't want to miss tomorrow's show that comes out at 9 o'clock in the morning. That you guys are going to enjoy that because it's got these videos embedded into that. But we're coming up on our next commercial break, guys. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the show. Sorry, it's a solo act. I'm trying to pull it off myself here, though. But hey, hopefully we'll have enough entries for the contest to do a Gellish gift card giveaway. Commercial break. We'll be right back. We're talking about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. And you know, guys, if you haven't been to GunLearn.com, they have a quiz in order to see how smart you are with guns. And if you go to gunlearn.com and you can find that quiz, please take, because a lot of guys think, why do I need gunlearn.com? I know everything there is that you need to know. Believe me, I would say 99.9% of the time, you're not as smart as you think you are involving guns, and you simply don't know what you don't know. I've taken the course before. I could take it again and learn so much. And they also deal with guns, and they deal, you know, with firearms and ammunition. Great opportunity, gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. Now, guys, we're going to go to another story here that I'm holding. I was hoping to have Travis Yates on this. He's got some technical issues, so I'm going to run with this. And it really involves Safeguard Recruiting. They are a sponsor for the show. They're our streaming sponsor. Look, thanks to them, we're streaming to over a million people, over a million followers during this live show. So at lawofficer.com, which is Travis's publication, we've got the story. Police Department departments are lowering hiring standards amid recruiting crisis. So police departments across the United States, they're quietly rewriting the fine print on who gets access to wear the badge. And listen to, there's no flags in the story, but there are some monumentous points in here. From college credits and fitness tests to past marijuana use, agencies are loosening longstanding requirements to fill academy seats amid a years-long recruiting and retention crisis. So what they're saying is that they're having a hard time getting cops on the job, right? And they want to have staff levels high. So what are they doing? They're trying to solve the problem by lowering standards, which never works. You may get more cops, but it's not the kind of cops that you want. And you're increasing your liability for agencies because you're getting cops that are not going to be as good. And they're going to just do stupid stuff that's going to get you. They're going to get people killed, injured, hurt, and you're going to be writing checks. And that's just some of the many things that, that can happen. It's just not a smart decision. I've seen agencies, my agency, Tampa Police, believe it or not, and the people in the industry know Tampa's got one of the best reputations in the country. There are guys all over the country that want to come to the Tampa Police Department. Our pension has for decades been known as one of the top two in the entire country. The other one, believe it or not, was in the state of California, which is surprising because of all the debt and how they just simply can't run finances in the state of California. But that was the other best pension. But yeah, there are guys that come to Tampa by the luck of the draw. I mean, it was between Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, which is still a fine agency, but they're in the state retirement system, which is a little bit different. And they had Tampa, which has its private pension that it shares with firefighters. So I just went to Tampa by the luck of the draw. I have seen standards change, but not a lot. Our education standards are still up there. You either have that college degree or have a certain amount of college credits. And they still have restrictions on drug use. And so I hate it when people lower those standards. So in this article, we're talking about lowering marijuana use standards and academy seats, college credits, all this stuff. So going on, national staffing data shows white chiefs feel cornered, and that's why they're making decisions. So in 2024, they did a survey by the Police Executive Research Forum and PERF, and they found out that sworn staffing on January 1st of 2024, so this is almost 2 years ago, it was about 4.9% below the levels in 2020. So it had been about 3 or 4 years, but they were still at low levels, even after a hiring rebound. Resignations have dropped from their 2021 and 2022 peak, but they're still well above the 2020 levels as well. Many departments are simply losing officers faster than they can replace them. Because remember, we got officers that are retiring, right? And it is a young man's game. You don't want old cops. And when you watch these movies, you know, where you got a bunch of old cops and stuff, it just drives me crazy. Because you know, it realistically, you don't want old guys, you know, on the road. Once you get in your 50s, you need to start checking out, guys. If you're in your 60s, you got no business wearing a uniform. One of the most visible changes is education standards. A state line investigation this year found the New York Police Department cut its college requirement from 60 credits to only 24. You got to be freaking kidding me. I mean, you know, I remember taking college. I've got as many as 18 credits in a semester. At the same time, the Dallas Police Department now accepts applicants with only a high school diploma or a GED if they have 3 consecutive years of full-time work experience. And the story noted similar moves in cities like Chicago. Ding, ding, ding. We've been talking about Chicago today. They're doing it. Louisville, New Orleans, that's another flag, and Philadelphia, of course, as well as state agencies and the FBI. So in Maryland, Montgomery County Police, they recently scrapped a longstanding 60-credit college requirement, altogether, they're trying to widen the pool of applicants. So, you know, so the rule of thumb is, you know, you're normally 60 credit hours is going to be about a year of college. That's, you know, 2 semesters, 50, you know, maybe average about 15 credits a semester. That's going to be a year of college. So 120, that's 2 years of college. So that's just kind of scary. So Doug Larson, he's a former law enforcement officer and owner at Safeguard Recruiting, our sponsor. God bless him. He's been helping agencies staff, agency staff for years. He calls lowering the standards an unnecessary and potentially dangerous decision for leaders. He is spot on. Here's a quote: "Lowering the standards is never the answer when there are plenty of willing applicants." Unquote. Now Larson goes on to say that his company's assisted agencies of all sizes, and he's never found a shortage of those who want to wear the badge. And that's refreshing. And I believe it because Travis has said the same thing. Travis Yates, who works with him. Recruiting for all industries has changed, and we encourage law enforcement to step away from the traditional methods. And that's where it's at. Step away from the traditional methods and embrace what we know works, according to Larson. Now, he's talking now about fitness and lifestyle rules are shifting as well. In Philadelphia, the article says that officials lowered the entry-level physical fitness standard and obviously lead physical fitness instructor at my agency, and they're lowering the standards for police academy from the 30th percentile to the 15th percentile of the police department's own scale. Roughly, they're doing fewer push-ups, they want fewer sit-ups, and fewer minutes on the 1.5-mile run while still requiring recruits to reach the higher standard by graduation. Since the change has been made, the pass rate on the entry test has jumped from 36% to over half, 51%. So you're not telling me that you're suddenly getting better quality candidates, right? You're just widening the pool, and you're getting people that normally you never would have let on the job, and you're putting the deplorables in. Departments nationally are also rethinking tattoo bans, age minimums, restrictions on past drug use. Oh my gosh. And in an effort to keep otherwise qualified applicants from being screened out before they ever take a test. And then in Arizona, there's a new rule that cuts the requirement of a marijuana free period for recruitments from 2 years to only 6 months. So you can smoke, take a tote 6 months and then become a cop. And they've already expanded the hiring pool just by making that one change. And there's other arguments. Other states have gone the opposite direction. Nebraska's governor has actually blocked a proposal to relax drug use standards, warning that it could be perceived as watering down. And it takes, what it takes to become a police officer without clear data that existing rules were truly driving candidates away. That is one smart guy right there. And then lastly, and this is the most important thing, guys, a June 2025. So this is recent analysis in the Washington Post, liberal publication, linked rising police violence in small towns in part to short staff departments that have lowered standards and accelerated training, leaving officers less prepared for complex mental health and domestic violence calls. Ding, ding, ding. There you go. And that's by liberal publication, and they got it. And that's recent. That's June of 2025. So there's no doubt. So anyhow, police leaders, when I, in all honesty, guys, when I go to, and we used to be involved with Police One, and we used to do specials for them every month. But when I go and I go to places like Police One and some other places, and they have these think tanks, right? Sometimes they'll even kind of like call them round tables. They kind of like steal that from us, right? But they do like, but they have police leaders talking about these things. I always look at the list of the police leaders that they have, and I'm always disappointed because they have the police leaders at these liberal agencies that have these horrible reputations, and they're from San Francisco, Oakland, California, Seattle, Portland, maybe Minneapolis. I mean, they're going to the armpits of the United States. The agencies that don't have respect from the decent law enforcement agencies in the country, they're the laughing stock. And these are the leaders that they're getting to talk about this kind of stuff. The same people that are embracing this lowering of standards, because guess what? People don't want to work at these agencies because they don't have your back. The training sucks. It's not necessarily the officers, although maybe they're getting a lot of unqualified officers that shouldn't be police officers, not necessarily those officers' fault that are being let in on a job that they normally couldn't qualify, elsewhere in the country. But those are the leaders that they're doing these think tanks with and coming up with solutions for, and that should be a crime in and of itself. So, guys, we're kind of winding things down. Hopefully you can appreciate where I'm coming from on this stuff. Lowering standards is deadly, according to Bill BC, and I think that you're right. And then keep the standards annual up there, according to MVS over on Rumble as well. Totally agree with you guys. So, guys, it's been a great show. Thanks so much for watching, and we're not done yet. I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping officers in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And so, guys, if you haven't been to the Wounded Blue lately, and they have that summit that happens every year around September, go to the Wounded Blue. I support them monthly, and I do that because I love what they're doing, and they're better at it than I am. and I get to support them. I sleep better at night, and I know that they're not going to embarrass me. They got very good people involved. Or if you're interested in volunteering for the organization, what a better way to make a difference around the country involving law enforcement. And guys, speaking of sponsors, please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to bring this good quality content to you. We have our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, AmedicareLifeSaferRecruiting.com, TubeBells.com, and FisherOrlandoBass.com with Zach. Don't forget about that bass fishing charter and the Florida alligator hunting. Guys, thanks for watching the show. We appreciate it. We'll look for you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.